Good morning to each of you and greet you in the name of Jesus. It's good to see you here and it's good to be here in this place of worship. And I trust that God's presence will continue to be with us. Brother Keith prayed that we would hear this morning what we need to hear, and I'm praying that that might be the case, but I'm also very conscious this morning that what I have to share this morning, I think maybe I need more than you all. And again, maybe that's why God moves the hearts of the speaker. But this morning, I trust that God will continue to inspire us and lead us. I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 10. It has been said that reading a proverb takes a second, memorizing a proverb takes a minute, and applying a proverb takes a lifetime. There are many proverbs that have good wisdom for us. I'd like to just use a couple proverbs this morning to get us started on the message that God has laid in my heart. The title of this message is Trust, the Vital Ingredient of Relationship. Trust, the vital ingredient of relationship. And I'd like to read Proverbs 10, 8 through 11. And as I read these proverbs, just think about trust. And really the question, there's some description in here of characters. And which one would you find it easy to trust? Which one would you struggle to trust? Verse 8 says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Now we'll just stop there and we'll contain our reading of the Proverbs to those verses. But again, just a reminder, think about which description to you sounds like a trustworthy individual? Wise in heart, verse 8, or a prating fool, verse 9. He that walketh uprightly, or he that perverteth his way, verse 10. He that winketh, again, a prating fool. Or verse 11, righteous man compared with the wicked. Charles Blondin, I don't know if you recognize that name, but he was the man back in 1859, I believe it was, who successfully walked on a cable numerous times across the Niagara Falls Gorge. And on one crossing in June of 1859, he walked backwards across the cable, and on his return trip, he came back with a wheelbarrow. And as the story goes, even though the watching crowd was totally convinced that he could successfully walk across the cable pushing this wheelbarrow, nobody would take a ride in the wheelbarrow. He invited whoever wanted to get in the wheelbarrow, and he would push them across the cable. Everybody refused. What was the issue? Did it have anything to do with trust? Now, I'm told later, or read later, that that fall, he again attempted it, and this time he carried his manager on his back. Now, would you agree with me that his manager probably trusted him? Trust is necessary for life. Everything in your personal life rises and falls on trust. And maybe we don't think about that as we should. But families, friends, homes, marriages, churches, communities, businesses, society, everything rises and falls on trust. And especially the most important thing this morning, our relationship with God is built on trust. We are wired to trust. Nothing in our world works without trust. Now, you might meet someone who says, I don't trust anybody. And there are people there that say that. They say, I don't trust anyone. And I would say this morning that that is a false statement. It is impossible to live our life without some degree of trust. Now, we might scale it back. We might hold back on trusting certain people. We might not trust, but yet we will trust. Just think about it. Driving to church this morning, you met a car coming towards you. You trusted that that car was going to stay over there and not come over in your path. You go to McDonald's, you order a sandwich. You're trusting that it's not loaded with poison. You know, there's small things that we don't even think about, but it's built on trust. Sadly, this morning, trust is sometimes broken, and we may struggle. Especially people that we know, we may struggle to trust them. Maybe it's someone we once trusted, but because of something that came up into the relationship, we feel we no longer can trust. What do we do about that? What should we do about that? Is there an answer for that? And I'm thankful this morning that there are answers. I know that we can't cover this subject in its entirety, but we'll just hit some of the high spots of it. But we need to realize this morning that trust must flow both ways in a healthy relationship. We trust others. We want to be trusted. I think we would agree this morning that we all want to be trustworthy people. We want people to trust us. We expect trust from others. They expect trust from us. Now, it is true that there are different levels of trust. You might trust somebody that's close to you more than what you trust somebody who you only meet once or twice. There is different levels of that. But we need to understand that trust flows both ways in a healthy relationship. I'd like to start this morning by just looking at a couple relationships in the Bible and notice how the trust flowed in these relationships, or maybe the lack of it. And most times we'll look at a couple examples just to get our minds turning about trust. And these accounts, I think only one of them mentions trust. And that is because trust is a silent byproduct of a healthy relationship. A healthy, strong relationship. We don't need to talk about the trust that's there. It's there. And trust is most noticeable when it's absent or missing from a relationship. Turn with me to Psalm 18. And let's read a few verses there. Psalm 18. This speaks about the trust we have in Jesus. Verse 1 says, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Do you get the feeling of trust in that relationship? Why do we trust Jesus? We're going to look at some of the key components of trust. And we see all this in our relationship with Jesus. The same reason you need to trust Jesus also is a good example of your trust in other relationships. Thankfully, we have Jesus as our perfect example. Now turn back to Genesis 39. Again, here we have a relationship. Genesis 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down hither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master in the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did, and Joseph did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Joseph's master trusted him. Why? Now let's turn over to chapter 41. Chapter 41, let's start reading at verse 37. We know the story, so I'm just breaking into some of the key verses here. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Again, we see trust. Why did Pharaoh trust Joseph? Turn over to chapter 42. And again, we see relationship. We see relationship happening. This is a little different angle. Let's start reading at verse 6. 42:6, and Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons, we are true men, thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan, and behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, that is it that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies, whereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. Here again, we have a relationship. What is your thoughts on trust in this relationship? Should Joseph trust his brothers? What was Joseph's last memory of his brothers? They had been very mean to him. Would you trust someone who had just treated you the way Joseph had been treated by his brothers? All right, let's look at a couple more yet. 1 Samuel 18. Verse 1, and it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. I wonder what contributed to the strong trust in this relationship. It's a beautiful picture of a relationship. I think many of us would long for that in all our relationships. All right, let's turn to Acts. Acts 15. Acts 15, I will start reading in verse 36. And again, think about trust. The vital ingredient in relationship. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Here we have, maybe we could say, a lack of trust and how it affected the relationship. If you turn back to Acts 13, verse 13, I think this is possibly what Paul was referring to when he didn't want to take John Mark with them on their trip. Verse 13 says, "Now when Paul and his companion loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." Now, we don't know why John departed from them, but it alludes to it from the perspective of Paul here in chapter 15 that it was probably something negative, and it affected the relationship. And to complete this story, I want to just read a verse from 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, and I'll just read one sentence from that verse, and this is Paul speaking. He says, "Take Mark," again we have here John Mark, "and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Somehow, and again, we don't have the details to put this all together, somehow the trust was broken and the trust was restored. I would now like to look at five things necessary for trust. Five things that are necessary for trust. Without these, trust will not work. We see these in the life of Joseph. We see these in our relationship with Jesus. Trust is more than a feeling. It may begin as a feeling, and sometimes we don't trust because something just doesn't feel right. And I'm not saying that that is wrong. However, I'm saying that trust should be rooted in something more than just feelings. Something that's solid, observable, and essential. Now, sometimes our feelings do give us a strong indication, and maybe that was what Joseph was trying to sort through. He had feelings when his brothers came. He had feelings there, and he needed to verify whether his feelings were still accurate, and he needed to search for something. So the first one I would like for us to think about this morning is seek to understand what the other person needs and how they feel. You know, we trust those who understand. And the key word here is understanding. For trust to work, we must understand what the other person needs and how they feel. And who understands us better than Jesus? Hebrews 4, 15, 16 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly," or we can trust to approach Jesus because of what we know he can do for us, and most of all that he understands us. If Jesus did not understand us, would we trust him? And thinking of relationship, can we expect people to trust us if we don't work to understand them? We must do as Jesus did. He reached out to people to understand them. And so often we get that turned around. We think of our own needs and having people understand us. But the point here is that we reach out and understand them. You know, getting somebody to trust you does not begin by convincing them that you are right. Trust begins not with convincing somebody to trust you, but it starts with someone feeling that you know them, that you understand them. People must feel known in order to trust. Think about it like this. Going to a doctor. Would you go to a doctor that you do not trust? And I use the medical because that's the closest. I mean, that we're the most vulnerable when you're at a doctor's office. And we need to trust our doctor. But what if the doctor is more concerned about your form of payment than your blood pressure? Or what if the doctor comes into the examination room and he hands you a prescription without even asking or taking in any vitals? Would you trust him? The thing is, we want to be understood. We want to be asked questions. We want to know, and that's how it is in a relationship. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. How guilty are we of giving our opinion before we really understand the issue? And this whole process of trust begins by listening and by understanding the other person, what they want, what they're feeling, in short, knowing what matters to them. When we fail to understand someone, we're unknowingly communicating that we're only interested in ourselves and that we are more important than them. So the challenge here is that we are willing to invest in someone else's life that we're having a relationship with, that we're endeavoring to trust. We want to build trust. So we reach out to understanding them. What happens when we feel understood? Fear, resistance calms down, and we open up, we listen better, think better, use better judgment. And all this begins by feeling understood. So here's what I want us to remember, especially if we're struggling, someone in our life, we're not sure if we should trust, or we're struggling to trust, and that is, you know, don't try to change them. Don't try to prove that we're right, they're wrong. Try to appreciate and understand them where they're at. Second one, make sure your motive and intent is for the other person's welfare. And there's some of this that overlaps with the previous one, but we trust someone whose motive is for us. Think about Joseph. If he had only been looking out for himself, how well would things have went for him in Egypt? He went to Egypt, and if he had only been concerned about himself, how well would things have went for him? Paul, I wonder if he didn't question John Mark's motive and failed to trust him. David and Jonathan, you know, it's clear when you look at that relationship, they had each other's back. Their motive was to help the other person. Motive, we hear it described this way. He or she is in it for the right reasons. He or she never thinks of himself, herself. They always think about others. With her, it's always about the mission or the cause. She would do anything for her family. Motive and intent is foundational for trust. And again, we find that. And we see that in Joseph. Wherever he was, Potiphar's house, prison, the palace, whether it's poverty, whether it was prominence, his motive was the other person's welfare. We're saying this morning that that builds trust. If you want people to trust you, they must know that you are for them, even more so than you are for yourself. All right, the next one is grow in ability or having the ability and capabilities to deliver what is promised. You know, we trust someone who is able to do what they are required to do. And we see that here with Paul and John Mark in 2 Timothy. I read that sentence that said, bring Mark with me, bring Mark, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Pharaoh said about Joseph, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? We trust someone who is able to do what they are required to do. And I have it down as grow in ability. If we want to be trustworthy, we need to be willing to grow in ability. The reality is we don't all have the same ability. So if you have a broken leg, we'll use the medical thing again. If you have a broken leg, do you go to a dentist or do you go to an orthopedic doctor? And why? Well, we know that there is a difference in abilities. We hear people say, well, just trust me. Why do they say it? There's probably a question about their abilities. Thankfully, this morning, we can grow in abilities. Luke 16:10 says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. You know, just because somebody can't do something doesn't mean that they're a bad person. In other words, a dentist might not be able to set a broken leg, but that doesn't mean he's a bad person. The thing is, we need to grow where we are required to grow. And in this, all it's requiring, all it's taking, all it's asking for is a heart to do the right thing. That's what we mean by growing in ability. Number four. Things that are important for trust, and that is develop healthy character. There are some similarities here with growing in ability. Develop healthy character. Having character and personhood to meet the trust requirements. God gives us clear instruction of who we should be. The question is, are we that person? You know, we all struggle to trust what we call shady characters. Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. You know, Joseph, when his brothers came to him in Egypt, many years had passed, and Joseph needed to know what his brothers were like. What was their character? Were they still as they were as he had left them or back in the land of Canaan? And I think that this was the whole point of Joseph speaking to them and putting him through this test. He needed to find out what type of a character they were. You know, we might not lie or steal, but are we kind? Are we patient? Are we long-suffering? Are we gentle? All those things can be part of our character. And who do we trust? We trust those people that maybe they don't lie and steal, but we like people who are kind, they're patient, they're long-suffering, gentle. We find them easier to trust. There is much that we could say about this, that having the character, healthy character, developing healthy character will help us become more trustworthy and grow in trust. We like someone who is careful with their words. Proverbs 16 says, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Doesn't sound like someone that we should trust. Do we have a trustworthy character? All right, one more yet for the important things of trust. Growing in trust, what we need to be trustworthy, the past and present impact the future. The past and present impact the future, and what we mean by that is we trust someone who has a pattern of doing what is trustworthy. So we could look at Jesus and what he does for us. Why do we trust Jesus? He never fails. He always does what he says that he will do. But how is it for us? What do we need in our own life? How can we learn from this? And why are we saying the past and the present impact the future? It's a reality that we need to deal with. What we have done in the past is a strong indication of what we will do in the future unless we change. And again, we have that with Joseph. He's looking at his brothers. He knows what's happened in the past. They are now in the present, and he's trying to determine what will happen in the future. And it's highly probable that what has happened in the past will affect what happens in the future unless there is change. You know, a drug addict will be a drug addict unless something changes. An unkind person will be an unkind person unless something changes. And I understand that this is where modern psychology and sadly too much of modern Christianity, they step in here and say you are a product of your past. And that will determine who you are. Well, if that is correct, then there's no hope for Joseph. And there's no solution for Paul. Now, it is true that our past does influence you. It does influence who we are today. And it does influence our future somewhat. In other words, if you had a bad experience with a vicious dog when you were two, I'm going to guess that you probably have a hard time trusting dogs to this day. However, we don't live in the past, we live in the present. So how does this impact this thing of trust? You heard the statement, you hear the saying, today is the first day of the rest of your life. So the question is, what can we do to be trust or trustworthy? What can we do? We can't change our past, we live in the present. How does that change the future? How does that impact the future? And I would say it this way, as we read in Psalm 18, David said, I will call upon the Lord. There's our key for change. True change is only found as we use the Bible solutions for our past, present, and future. But I would also say, establish patterns of trustworthiness. People, watch your life. Joseph was looking at his brothers. Are they now trustworthy? What are they doing? What will they do in this circumstance? What will they do in this situation? So if we want to be trustworthy, if we've struggled with trust in the past, the best thing to do is be trustworthy in the present and to establish a pattern of trustworthiness, and that will guide us in the future. Trust happens when we're willing to acknowledge where we were and accept help in the present, especially God's help, to guide us to where we need to go. I realize there's a whole lot more that should or could be said about that. But when we realize that we can change today through the power of God, and we can go forward, and it's a wonderful thing, again, that we have the Bible for our solutions. So let's again, appreciate what is trust and what it, the importance of it. I would like to just briefly go over just a couple things. Unfortunately, trust sometimes is broken. And is there something that we can do to restore trust and promote trust in our relationships? And I'm going to just give these very quickly. There's a lot that could be said about this. But just make sure you are what God wants you to be. Yesterday, I took a break from studying, and I went out to pull weeds. And I didn't realize, I suddenly realized how many weeds there are on our property. I mean, there was weeds everywhere. And I had to think, I wonder if other people's properties have so many weeds on them. And I realized, well, you know what? I'm not responsible for their weeds. I need to take care of my own weeds on my property. And it's that way with this thing of trust. It takes a lot of hard work. There's stubborn weeds, and you'll see them shoot up again, but just make sure that you are what God wants you to be. And I think that's the best thing to do, we can do when we're thinking of restoring relationships, especially. Make sure your thoughts are acceptable to God. So much happens in our mind, and we need the mind of Christ. Focus on finding good, not exploiting the wrong. Both parties must be fully invested in repairing the damage. And I wonder if, thinking of Joseph and his brothers again, I wonder if some of the trouble there could have been helped by Joseph responding different to his brothers back before Joseph even was sold as a slave. You know, maybe he could have used some discretion in what he told his brothers and his parents, but I believe he was innocent in doing that. However, I believe he wanted to change things. He wanted a restored relationship, and I'm fairly certain his brothers did also when they came to Egypt. They wanted things to be different. Of course, they didn't know who this was, but when they did know Joseph and who he was, I think that they wanted to have a good relationship again, and both parties must be fully invested in repairing the damage. The big one is forgiveness is essential, and plenty could be said about this. But forgiveness is when we release the other person, we no longer hold them accountable for what they did or said. Again, we follow God's example of forgiveness. And the challenge for us all is, have I done everything I can to change the situation? Look at all Joseph did. You know, he could have said to his brothers when he saw them there that day when they walked in front of him, he said, I know who you are. You're liars, you're hateful, you're mean. Go back to your home. But he didn't. He said, I don't have the words in front of me, but he acknowledged the change that took place in his own life. He said something to the effect of, I trust God. And because of that, he was willing to look at his brothers and see what he could do to help them and to be what he should be in that situation. I trust this morning that we are trustworthy, that we can have trust in our relationships, and that we are focused on building trust into our relationships, doing everything we can to be trustworthy. And again, the one proverb that we read in the beginning, it said, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. So let us focus on walking upright, walking with trust, and there will be trust in our relationships. May God help us with this. Let's kneel for prayer.